time one of these puts off to the last minute to get everything together.
Oh, but surely not.
Surely
even
not.
Even a half hour ago, I was thought of something else to put on.
Good thing is, you have all the stuff to do it with.
Yeah.
I worked on Noel Shaw for 30 years. Fancy research on it at that time. And it was his 150th birthday anniversary. And you'll see some pictures here of at the end of of my presentation of that day. But at that time, I made contact throughout the United States. It was for internet, so it was had to be everything done by mail and library and whatever. And so...
Is that too dark?
No, that should be fine. Assuming I can read my words, which I think I can.
Do you need a little light down there, Larry?
Might be a little bit. Well, I can see all okay about it, if you want to turn it off.
You probably know it by heart anyway.
I know most of it by heart. Okay. I'll probably have a little bit anyway.
I think we can do it this way.
How's that?
That's good.
That'll work, yeah.
Okay, we still
have everybody else. Good for everybody else. Let's see, I gotta get on this other side.
Do you have a relationship with this person?
No, I don't. Well, in a roundabout way, my aunt was married to a cousin, Noah Shaw. There's a lot of people in Rush County that's related to Noah Shaw that don't realize it. The Hunkerfords, Harcourt, Ryle family, they're more in Decatur County. Weininger family, and quite a few people that are related that don't even really realize it. What this problem we're having here. Maybe if I turn it on, it might help. It turned itself off. Okay. Okay, Noah Shaw was born the 13th of October in 1834 in Ross Township, Butler County, Ohio. He was brought to Orange Township here in Rush County by his parents, Albin Shaw III and Huldah Griffin Shaw, in the latter part of that same year, 1834, when he was only just a few weeks old. His father was called Albin III because there was two other Albin Shaws in Rush County at that time. The family did move around quite a bit, but they all was in the Orange Township area. And his dad at one time ran the store at Moscow. Noel was their firstborn. They had two more children, a Charles Griffin Shaw, born in 1836 here in Rush County. He married Sarah Parsons, who was the daughter of David Parsons and Catherine McCarty. He was in the Civil War, this is talking about Charles, and carried a saber. He fought on the north side, while his wife's brother fought on the south side. The third child was a Catherine Shaw, born in 1838 in the county. She married Curtis Webb, son of John Webb and Anne Holfield, H-O-L-F-I-E-L-D, Holfield. They later settled in up in Madison County near Anderson. I don't know what I'm doing here. This is a Shaw family farm in Butler County, Ohio. This is the house where Noel Shaw was born in 1834. This picture was taken back in 1939. This is what it looks like today. It's been restored, and it's on the I think it's on the National Register. We visited the house in 1982 when I was doing my research. After Noel's father died in 1834, his mother remarried to James Weininger Sr., pictured in this picture. He was a master of the violin. They lived on the house in Orange Township. The house has since been torn down, but it's now a new home has been built. If you know Peggy Harcourt, it's where Peggy lives now. But this was the original house. And James Sr. Taught Noel how to play the violin. Noel began to play the violin or the fiddle for dances in the area where dancing and liquor were the highlight of the evening. On one of these dances, he stopped in the middle of the number and said he could play no longer. His dying words of his father, "Prepare to meet thy God," came to him. He went home, asked for a bowl of milk and bread, then asked for a blanket and spent the rest of the night on the floor. He continued on this way for several days, his reply to his mother that he was having a battle with the devil. Elder Gabriel McDuffie of Arlington came into the neighborhood and gathered together the believers, preaching the gospel and holding communion services. These were held across from the road where the current Big Flat Rock Christian Church is now located. Similar meetings were held in the surrounding area. One of them was a mile and a half south of Homer on Mud Creek. Knowles, his brother Charles, his sister Catherine, and a neighbor, Hester Ann Thompson, who later became married a Ross, rode by horseback to this meeting while Noel made his confession and was baptized by Elder George Thomas in Mud Creek on the 13th of September, 1852. The neighbor lady, Hester Ann Thompson Ross, she is a great-grandmother of Edna Kellam May Bailey. Some of you may know Edna May. She's since deceased. She was married to Sheriff Bob May. This is a picture of his brother Charles and Charles's wife Sally. And this is a picture of Hester Ann with her husband Thomas. Prior to going to the ministry, Knowles taught school in both in Orange and Anderson Township. The area of his teaching was considered a rough section of Indiana with much fighting going on in the schools prior to him beginning his teaching. On the first day of school, he told the boys, "Boys, I expect you to do as I do. What I do and say, you are at liberty to do and say. If I lie, you can lie. If I swear, you can swear. If I fight, you can fight. But if you do any of these things and I don't, you will get a whipping." No one was whipped on that term, and there was much crying at the close of the school term when he left. Under the guidance and concern of Uncle George Thomas, Gabriel McDuffie played a very important role in Noel's starting the ministry. Referred to as Uncle Gabriel, Noel worked hard to discourage the disbelievers who sneered that the old man is wasting his time on Shaw. He'll soon be back in the ballroom fiddling as lively as ever. On the third Sunday in October in 1858, Knowles preached his first sermon before the congregation in the Big Flat Rock Church. This is a picture of the church when it was first built in 1852. Following the sermon, he was asked by a brother, "How did I do?" Instead of answering him, he asked Noah a question. "Did you do your best? If you did and you sincerely hold to the preaching of the word, make no compromise or apology. Then you will become a great preacher." Another picture of the church before it was remodeled. It was built in 1852 with two doors in the front. In 1906, they eliminated two doors and to one door. At the time it was built, the women went in one side and the men went in the other side. Then in 1921, you'll see a picture later when the church was remodeled. But this original building from 1852 is our main sanctuary. It's still, you can go up in the attic and see the original beams up from the old church. Getting ahead of myself. While he was working as a farmhand for George Finley, he married his daughter, Martha Finley, in 11th of January 1855. They had five children, two of which lived to adulthood. They moved around a lot, and that's not the picture that's supposed to be coming up. There is the picture. Let me back up a minute. That picture was, you just seen was, and I left that out, was the Melroy Christian Church, where Knowles was ordained as a minister. This is the house. The house is now torn down. It's where Daisy Myers used to live in Anderson Township. Now belongs to Kay Heideman and her family. It was at this house, one of the houses, he moved around quite a bit in Rush County. This is one of the houses he lived in. And this was the house where he was having a meeting in West Virginia where his oldest daughter, Georgia Ann, died. On the Rush Bank Road, this is just east of Big Flat Rock Christian Church. It's actually 450 west, but it's always been called Rush Banks. It's a baptizing hole of our church, and it was back then as well as to recent years. On one occasion, Knowles was down in the river here cleaning out a spot. A neighbor came along and asked him what he was doing. He replied he was getting ready to have a baptismal service. The neighbor commented, "I'll be damned if I would do that." And Noah replied, "You'll be damned if you don't." He held what they call it was revival meetings. They called them protracting meetings at that time. He had them at least 14 different states from what research I've come across. But during that time, he was credited for bringing over 20,000 souls to Christ. He was described in a Memphis, Tennessee newspaper as a tall, raw-boned, rather ungainly specimen of genus homo and stands about 6 feet 4 inches in his boot. His hair and beard are dark auburn in color. His articulation, unusually rapid, was wonderfully distinct. He is a law unto himself. He is intensely earnest. He's very plain and practical. He sings in different languages and plays on many instruments. He usually opened his service with a half hour of music, singing, playing the violin, and playing the hand organ. If you search the internet through Ancestry.com to the newspaper section, you'll find quite a few articles from newspapers around the United States. This is just one of them. I printed off some more here on the table. The meetings were, a lot of them was held outdoors in open areas, and there would be thousands of people in attendance. I've often wondered, with photography being around at that time, why there wasn't any pictures taken of some of the crowds, or even of Noah himself. I've only been able to find three pictures of him. This is the one of the churches that he held meetings at. It's in Harrison, Ohio, or was in Harrison, Ohio. He added 160 members during this meeting, and he was minister there, and that was in 1865. He was minister there from 1866 to 1868, and he encouraged them to build a new church, which I think was this one right here, and he turned the money over that he received from the from these meetings to other meetings that he had throughout the states. He had a four-week meeting in 1876 in Covington, Kentucky. 105 people were added at that time. And he was a minister in Columbus, Mississippi in 1878. And he lived there until his death that same year. I made a trip to Kansas in the 1990 era, and visited the area that he would have lived in. The town of Shaw, Kansas, was named after him, and this is the Shaw Christian Church on the left. And this pulpit is still in the church at Gainesboro, Kansas, and they still use it. He edited a monthly Sunday newspaper from 1865 to 1867 from Rushville. His family, his wife, and kids, for the most part, remained here in Rush County during the years that he traveled. But he published this newspaper, edited it from Rushville, and it was published in Louisville. The paper was called The Children's Friend. And many of his writings were published in such publications as the Christian magazine. He published five songbooks using his own songs as well as songs of other writers. This is one of them, The Golden Gate, and these are two more that he done. I haven't been able to find the other two. These three that I photographed here back in the 1982 belonged to people here in the county that had copies of them, and since that time I have been able to locate copies of them off of the eBay, and I've got them here on the table. He's credited for writing at least 115 songs, the most popular being Bringing in the Sheaves, which you will see on Little House on the Prairie and a lot of other movies and TVs when they have any church service. Among some of the other songs he wrote was I Am the Vine and We Believe, Tarry With Me, I Need Thee, Precious Jesus, Waiting and Watching, Handwriting on the Wall, Standing by the Cross, Eyes A-Lootin' Out for You, and Flirting Away. He also wrote this as a non-religious song. While he was in Kansas, he wrote it for the Grange out in Kansas. The Farmer Feeds Us All. We have an annual Noah Shaw Homecoming Day at our church, and this is besides Bringing in the Sheaves, we play this one. Our song leader, Linda Miller, I don't know if you know Linda, hates the song, but our piano player is Brenda, used to be Brenda Rao, and she's a niece descended from Noah Shaw, so she likes to play it. So we play it anyway. I do have a recording of the song. At the end of my presentation here, I'll play it. The words of it are a little different, but it's the same song been turned around and with a different upbeat. These are the other two pictures that I've been able to find of Noah Shaw. He had just closed a five-week meeting in Dallas, Texas. It was on board a train to McKinney, Texas, where he was supposed to have another meeting. This is in June of 1878. He was sitting next to Reverend Malley, a Methodist minister. He had just uttered what would be his last words. "It's a great thing to rally the people to the cross of Christ." When the train wrecked, sending the coach, he was riding in down a embankment 40 feet, turned over three times, and stopped in 2 feet of water. He was the only casualty, but in doing so, he saved the life of Reverend Malley, whom he pushed from the spot that where he himself fell. Following a funeral service in Dallas, the body was sent back to Rushville for burial at East Hill. The expenses were paid by the Rushville and the Big Flat Rock churches. Over 2,000 people gathered in the courthouse park for the memorial service. This is a picture of our church as it currently looks. Like I said, it was the original building was raised and turned around, and a basement was dug underneath of the church by a team of mules, by Bert Weininger from who lived at the time in Blue Ridge, and then it was bricked. When the building was redone in 1921, they had a dedication service, and which was only known dedicating the new look of the church, but also do a memorial for Noah Shaw. This is the program from that. They had a morning and an afternoon and an evening service. The afternoon service was memorial service. It mentions the unveiling of the memorial. The only thing I can think of that might be that still is in our church is a picture of Noah Shaw and a sign underneath of it, which I'll show you in a few minutes. It says, has his last words on it. In 1939, there was another memorial service, and it was for Noah Shaw. This is the Elmer Hunkerford was the one that headed it all up. He published this book, a copy of it's on the table here, full of the songs from the copies that you've seen earlier. And he also donated a granite rock that was on his property and was placed in front of the church with the plaque honoring Noah Shaw engraved on it or placed on it. And it, of course, is still there. In 1984 was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Noah Shaw, so we had a special presentation. At our minister at that time, Dr. Burbacher, he was our minister then, and he's still our minister. He was gone for about 17 years, but he was there for 9 years, and then he's been back and there again for the last 8 years. He was a little thinner at that time. But he's here, seen here with, and the wording on the bottom of that is wrong. I got one too many greats under there. That's Noah Shaw's great-granddaughter, Esther, and her son, who would be a great-great-grandson, Fred. She has since died, but the Fred is, and his brother both live in Fort Fort Thomas, Kentucky, which is just across the river from Cincinnati. And they have a sister that lives, I think she's in Illinois right now. But anyway, they were our special guests for that morning. So we had a memorial service out at the cemetery. John Hughes is on your left, on your right there. John's grandfather was baptized by Noah Shaw. That is, I'm sure most of you know, would be Julie
Newhouse's
father.
Okay.
Then we had service back at our church. A picture again of a great granddaughter and great great grandson, along with John Hughes. Sitting next to them, to their I guess it would be to their right, is the people that owned the farm where Noah Shaw was born. He is, as I've heard, has since died, and she's got Alzheimer's. They brought with them the walking stick and a pitcher that Noah Shaw owned. And she returned again 3 years later in 1987, and is pictured with the Elliston family, Lula Elliston and her two daughters, Frances and Jeanette. Right above them is the picture I was talking about that's been in our church on the wall since 1921, and the saying underneath, his last words, "It's a grand thing to rally souls to the cross of Christ." He was featured on the cover in 1926 of the Christian Evangelist. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Larry. That was really interesting.
Yeah,
he sure didn't live long,
did he? No, he didn't. And I haven't had the time, but I'm hoping someday find some time to do more research on the internet, try to find some more articles. I've been finding, like I said, at the time I did my research, I had from some papers, I found some people in our church that done research on him in the past. I found places where he served, as well as there's a life story of him. The books are here. Actually, I've got five different copies of the books. And it was done, the life story of him was done a year after he died. And there was a lot of information in those telling where he had ministered. And so I wrote letters to those towns, hoping that I would find somebody that would respond. And I did get several responses and several people that send clippings and send information to me. But I'm hoping again to do more research and find out more stuff, because like I said, on Ancestry.com, their newspaper area, you can find a whole bunch of stuff in there.
There are still several Shaws in the Ross, Ohio area and in eastern Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't wait to get home. I never had made that connection before, because I didn't realize he came from Butler County, but I can't wait to check with some of them and see if they are direct descendants.
Ancestry on any descendants of Noah Shaw. It's in this book here.
Okay.
But it's not been updated. That was done about 20 years ago. My computer got struck by lightning 3 years ago, and I lost 10 years worth of genealogy.
Oh, no.
And luckily I had it on an old laptop, but the 10-year research I'd done in between time was all gone.
Oh.
And so I put the from the laptop to my current computer, and the, I had some problem with it the other day, and now everything disappeared up a bit, too.
Oh, no.
But I still got my old laptop, so I got to re-enter everything again.
Oh, no.
But like I said, there is a lot of people here in the county that is related to Noah Shaw that don't realize it.
Larry, thank you for coming today, and we know of your interest in the beach settlement, mm-hmm. so we've written a check to them.
Well, thank you.
To honor your being here today.
Okay, we appreciate that.
Okay.
We're hoping to get that project going. We're kind of waiting until June 1st. Eleanor Arnold's put in for a grant. Mm-hmm. And they're not supposed to start anything until we find out if we get this grant, which is for $50,000, or up to $50,000. And but if it doesn't go through, we still got some money where we can start the project.
Good. Okay. Great. It needs it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I was going to play you a song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, play it while we browse. It's okay, Katrina. We can listen to it
yeah,
while
you
we can, browse.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you want to get your phone, too.
This is Woody Gumfrey's version of the Farmer Feeds the Song.
No, I have them. My bad. How sad is that?
Join the crowd.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, oh, the farmer is the man who feeds them all. If you'll only look and see, I think you will agree that the farmer is the man who feeds them all. Oh, the farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. Then they take him by the hand and they lead him from the land, and the middleman's the one who gets it all. When the lawyer hangs around and the butcher cuts a pound, oh, the farmer is the man who feeds them all. And the preacher and the cook go a-strolling by the brook, but the farmer is the man who feeds them all. Oh, the farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. With the interest rate so high, it's a wonder he don't die, for the mortgage man's the one that gets it all. When the banker says he's broke and the merchant's up in smoke, they forget that it's the farmer feeds him all. It would put them to the test if the farmer took a rest, then they'd know that it's the farmer feeds him all. Oh, the farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. And his pants are wearing thin, his condition it's a sin, he's forgot that he's the man who feeds them all.
And that's true. Everything you say.
Like I say, the words are all changed around from the original. And if you look at the original music, it was written to be accompanied by a violin or fiddle. Yeah. And it's hard to play, I've been told. I don't play the piano, but those that try to play it have a problem.